Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. We may be seated in God's house. He is very good. Oh, wow. What an awesome God we serve. Welcome to God's house this morning. I know you've already done this, but turn to your neighbor. Don't get up. Just shake their hands. Say, welcome to the last Sunday in 2024. But this is the last Sunday. I am so excited. Because when we started this year, it was by faith that you knew that you would see the last Sunday. But now you're actually in it. That's God. That's God's goodness. Think from January 1st to December 29th. So December 30 and 31. So we've got two more days. Amen. Okay. If the thing is not striking you, you'll get it in a minute. Because this is awesome. Do you know how many people started this year with us are no longer here? If you ever have a news app and you keep looking, many times they will tell you the folks we've lost in 2024. They talk about, you know, the stars, the big names. But there are many people, too, that we don't know of that have gone. Now, if they are Christians, we know where they went. So we're rejoicing over them because they would rather be there than here. If they're not Christians, we really don't know where they are. I never like to say, oh, they went to hell, because who knows, maybe the last 30 seconds of their lives, maybe they embrace the Lord, maybe. You know, so that's why you can't really say for certain where they are. But those who we know who served him, we know where they are. But you are still here. Why? It's not because you are smarter or better or you did better or you were more holy. It's because God just wants you here. And that's why we lift our hands up and we say, thank you, Jesus. We thank him. We thank him. We thank him. So I'm going to do one last thing this year, because I know when our senior pastor comes back on the 31st, he's not going to do this because he's already locked up. Now, if you call his phone, he won't pick it. He's already locked up in a retreat. So he's not going to come back to this confession. And this confession is too sweet for us to just let it just go into the night like that. So you're going to stand up one last time. As a congregation, we're going to speak this confession and prophetic theme over ourselves. Because there's still 2 days. I never let it go. I squeeze the last drop. I always do. The very last drop out of each confession. So let's go. 2024, let's go. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. Hold on. I want you to do it differently this time. As you're reading each word, I want you to think back how many of these things have actually come to pass in your life. Every paragraph applies to me in particular, but, you know, I just want you to think about it. Don't just read it like that, like, you know, we rush through it, like we have something hot in our mouths. No, this time I want us to think about it and see how faithful God has been. Yes. Hasn't he been faithful? Okay, let's start from I am God's offspring. I am God's offspring, and in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am under cover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am under cover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am under cover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am under cover. I am prospered, protected, preserved in the ark. I am under cover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am under cover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places. And I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are falling. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Tinu Tadeshe, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely, and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like sweet-smelling aloes that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own buckets and have your own channels of rich blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory. And who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you. And you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits. And this is the year of the fourth man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. We may be seated in God's house. I know how long it is, but I wanted us to read it because this is probably the last time as a congregation that we're going to read that. So, I can't say welcome to 2025. I can say by faith, but it's almost here. Now, if you've been going to our website, you see it was down. It was actually down for maintenance. It's back up now. Yesterday went back up. Thank you, Pastor Emmanuel, all the way in Nigeria, seeing to it. We miss you, by the way, just letting you know. but he's still working. He's still working night and day alongside us in the ministry. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Emmanuel and Minister Chika. God bless you, ALICC India, ALICC Pakistan, ALICC Global Ministries in Kenya, and for those who will join this, Ghana, Nigeria, all these places, God bless you. This has been a year of dispersal. God bless you, North Carolina. God bless you, Akron, Cleveland, soon to be Columbus and Texas. Amen. I just want you to be full of praise. We really did that during the vision prayer. We just expressed our love for God and the fact that he does all things well. So our senior pastor is already in God's presence, sitting down there in God's presence to receive for this new and coming year. So we'll all be here, back here on the 31st, that's Tuesday at 10 p.m. And we're all going to be here ready to receive. Amen. But let's go through the word a little bit this morning. I'm very excited about this word. As I was preparing yesterday, I started shouting. I said, cool it down, girl. Just hold on, hold on. Because I saw how far God has brought us. Let's look at what Pastor said to us last week. He took us, he said we needed to finish well. Did he say that? Yes. He said we needed to finish well. And then in Hebrews 12, 2, in the Amplified, he said, looking away from all that will distract us, we should look to Jesus, who is the leader, the Amplified of Hebrews 12, 2, who is the leader and the source of our faith, and is also its finisher. And that's why he said we need to finish well. God never starts a project and never finishes. And he started you out this year. You need to finish well. So we're going to kind of get into details about how do we finish well. A little bit further. We've been hearing about that for the last 2-3 Sundays. But we're going to get into it a little bit more. And he says when you finish well, that determines your reward. So he keeps telling us, finish well, persevere, finish well. Close it up well. Amen. Let's end this 2024 well. Amen. The other thing he said was gratitude is the very first thing. Gratitude and ingratitude are both attitudes of the spirit and mind. So if you turn this way, it's gratitude. Turn that way, is ingratitude. A Christian, a child of God who loves God, can live in either world. It's up to you. It's something you decide. You can decide to be somebody who is very thankful, or you can decide to be somebody who always sees the glass half empty, and it's always like, I've been asking God for this thing for 5 years. What's he doing? What's he working on? Every time we come to church, they say, God is working. For how long? You know, you can be that way. Or you can be the one who says, Father, look at you. You are just doing all things well. You are so faithful. Look at all you have done. See, it all depends on which side you want to fall in. So he did tell us last week that gratitude and and ingratitude. It's the attitude of the mind. It's how you determine to go. And I've known many ungrateful Christians, and I've known many grateful ones. Just choose. Choose one side. You will be rewarded either way. Amen. And that gratitude brings you joy. If you decide to stay on the gratitude side, you're going to be full of joy. You just see, people will be seeing you going through things. They know your story, and they just wonder you're always bouncing. Ah, what's wrong with her? How are you? I'm fine. I'm highly favored. I'm blessed. Everything is well. But they know your story, and they're wondering, she must have lost your mind, yeah? I lost the mind of ingratitude. What I embraced was the mind of gratitude, amen? And you know what? It always catches up. You know, the things that you think have not been done, it will come and meet you there. It will be done while you are dancing. So there's no point living 2-3 days in just pain and sorrow, grumbling, mumbling. And you know, there's one scripture we always read. It says the password into God's presence is thank you. That is coming to his presence with praise and thanksgiving. So there are times I feel like that. There are times I feel like, just God, I don't know what you're doing. But there's one thing I learned. I said, before I go and pray, I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, please help me to pray the way the Father wants me to pray. That's the way I always do. Because sometimes my mind is just not behaving right. My mind is just, you just need to smack it. You just need to tell it. You know, so I just say, you know what, Lord, I'm not in it today. But Holy Spirit, help me to pray the way the Father would like me to pray. So I'm dragging my tail. I'm just dragging in there. And as my mouth wants to move into God, but I ask you this now for 3 months, I just start to say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for food on the table. Thank you for clothes over, you know, a roof over my head, clothes on my back. And then I start to remember, thank you for that one. Before you know what? You're just full of joy. Yes. And with joy is faith. Yes. Because without that, it's very hard to ask anything from God. You come to God's presence, God, I don't even know if I want to ask you anything today, because the one we asked yesterday, I don't know how far you've gone on that one. And he's just looking at this ungrateful child who woke up this morning and is in her right mind and still is ungrateful. Who woke up this morning and is able to get in a car and drive to work and is still ungrateful. Who went to bed yesterday, slept and woke up. Who ate dinner yesterday is looking at this ingrate child of his. Dragging, mourning, complaining. My husband is not good. My children are bad. I don't know. They will be the death of me. And he's just looking at this ingrate of a child that he sent his only begotten son to die for, to pull into the family. And he's looking at this very moaning, grumbling, mumbling. So what am I going to do with this girl? That's the child that chose ingratitude. But you know, you are not like that. You are the one who wakes up in the morning and say, "Woo! Hallelujah! Another day! Thank you, Father." You look up, like Pastor Muiwa was saying, there's a roof over your head. That's a roof. If you actually went out, you see many people in this cold. They don't know where they're going to sleep. That's an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Train yourself. Pastor told us, train yourself to forget things quickly. You know, things that somebody brought something up to me this last week. I said, I can't remember. You can't remember? I honestly cannot remember. And it was such a big deal. And I know I should, but I trained myself. Any negative thing, I train myself very quickly. Because you can't be full of joy when you are remembering those. You can't be. So that's what our senior pastor taught us. This morning, I want to talk about the wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. Let's open our Bibles to Luke 17:12. Luke 17:12. We all know that story, but it bears reading. We'll read it from 12 to 19, maybe in the King James. Let's do the King James. And Jesus entered into a certain village. there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Glory to God! Amen. Why is he shouting? He's looking. There were 10 of them. The reason they were standing afar off is that lepers in Israel were not allowed to mix. If you look at it in Leviticus, it tells you all about it. They cannot be part of a society. They have a lepers colony. And that's where they stay. And that's where they stay their whole lives, because even then there was no medication for it. They decided that they didn't want to live like this forever. So 10, a band of them came, and from afar off they're shouting to Jesus and waving. They couldn't move close to him, but they could shout and say, please, have mercy on us, heal us, do something. And Jesus was so compassionate, knowing that their lives was already shut down. He said, go show yourself. The reason he told them, he didn't say you are healed, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Is in Leviticus, when a leper has leprosy, they're put out, but peradventure they're healed, the priest has to certify that they're healed before they're allowed to join the rest of society. That's why. So instead of Jesus saying you are healed, he said, go show yourself to the priest. That is, you're healed. And they went immediately. They started running because they knew there was a reason. They didn't even question it in their mind. They just needed Jesus to say something, and he did. And they started running. But as they were running, all of it just disappeared. Leprosy has a very distinct look. If you've seen a leper, they look very different. Their skin is different. Sometimes their noses are already falling off because that thing eats into your whole being and it spreads like wildfire. That's why the law was made in Leviticus. They cannot stay in the midst of people because it will spread. It's like COVID. Move everybody away, but this was more dangerous than COVID. It just did things, they become malformed and so on. And 10 people were going, and as they were going, they were not healed before Jesus said so. They looked leprous, but as they were going, their bodies started to change. Everything started to change. The skin changed. Things that were malformed became reformed, and things just changed. And the more they changed, they started running. They ran harder so that they could go tell the priest. And why is that? Because they had been excluded from life. And they wanted to get back into community and have their lives back. I understand it very well. There are things that happen to you in life. It's almost like a valve. Until this thing happens, your life is shut down. And that was their own thing, that one thing that shut them down. So you can understand how excited they were when they were running. But one stopped. He said, wait a second. Hold on. Wait a second. And started to scream. And started to shout. Because since God knows when, he had been leprous. And his life is now being handed back to him. It's like, okay, go back now. You can go back to normal life. And he did nothing to deserve it. In a second, in just a few words, go show yourself to the priest. His whole life was given back to him. And that's why he started to scream and he started to shout. Sometimes you see people losing their minds in church and you don't know why. God did something. They can't share it with you, but God did something. Sometimes you see people write huge checks for offering. That's why that woman with the alabaster box came. The Bible says the worth of that alabaster box was worth a whole year's salary.
imagine how expensive that perfume was. And she broke it and poured it all over Jesus. And people were complaining. Money said, hold on, you were not there. When he did this and that and that, you weren't there. So this man is screaming at the top of his voice. And people are wondering, did you lose your mind? Yes, I lost my mind. Because a few minutes ago, I could not sit beside you. I couldn't eat with you. I couldn't come to your house. I couldn't do stuff with you. My life was shut down. A few weeks ago, I had my immigration papers were not coming. Now I'm speaking to somebody now. I was told this. I was told that. But look what the Lord has done. So when you see me screaming, shouting, they told me at the beginning of the year, I'm going to lose my job. But instead of me losing my job, he's giving me something I'm earning three times. So now you are telling me, why am I shouting?
Hallelujah.
Do you know why I'm shouting?
Hallelujah.
Why is this man? But how come there were 10 of them? Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. Loud. Like screaming at the top of his voice. Glorifying God. God, you are worthy. God, you are great. God, there's nobody like you. You are the only one who can do this. And he's saying all these things and people are thinking he lost it. Yes, he lost his mind. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And look, he was a Samaritan. These Samaritan folks, you will see, they're the ones always pressing, thankful, pushing. Things that is not supposed to be, things not supposed to be given to them, they're the ones always going for it. So there is the Samaritan woman who said, heal my daughter. And Jesus said, no, you're not one of us. He said, even the dogs eat. Give me. I'm a dog. Just give me. Crumbs. Is this Samaritan folks? They don't think just the normal churchy way. Well, we came, we prayed, and he did it. Okay, so what's the big deal? Supposed to do it. That's why he's my savior. Really? And that's how we do sometimes. We rush past things. But this guy stood there for a minute. He saw he was healed. He fell on his face. And Jesus in verse 17 said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, except the stranger. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Whole. Not just healed, whole. His whole life is changed. In fact, the Bible says somewhere else, because I don't know if I'll get to that later on, that there was a man called Simon the leper. Jesus was in his house eating. You know you can't eat in the house of a leper because lepers live in a colony. They are ostracized. They are outcast. That the reason Jesus was eating in his house was that he was already healed and had joined back into society. Whole. That is, your business is restored. You now have a wife. You now have children. You now all the things that you could never because of this one thing. So there's something called Selah. You know the meaning of Selah. You know, you read in the Psalms, Selah. In fact, let's read one in the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 4, verse 4 in the New King James. Psalm 4, verse 4. Let's do it in the New King James. Psalms 4, verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah, Psalms 4. Thank you. You see that word Selah, S-E-L-A-H? It means pause. P-A-U-S-E, pause. Just be still. Hold on. Shut down for a minute. Just be still. Just settle down. Calm down. The reason that guy could come back amongst 10 people was because he paused. He's like, wait a second. He's like, wait a second. Uh-uh. Look at me. It's like, hold on. The reason many of us are ungrateful is because we don't pause. You wake up in the morning, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Take your shower, get into the car. You go, no, you got to pause. You have to be still for a minute. If that means you have to wake up 4 a.m. as opposed to your 7 so that you can take a shower for 10 minutes, get dressed in 15, get in your car, and then be at work at 8, then wake up at 4. Because there's something about pausing. It helps you appreciate who God is and what He's doing in your life. And that attitude of gratitude will get you so much faster to where you want to go. Than your labor, you know, running quickly, getting to work, clocking in. You better pause. Pause. You have to have regular daily pauses. You see, end of year now we're saying pause. This is strategic. I call this one the strategic pause, where we all wait and pause, we write it down. You got to do that more often, and daily is the best way. Because once you do that, something start to dawn on you that you are part of the family of the Almighty God. When you start to see His hands and the things He's doing, you will know that this is extraordinary, this is unusual, nobody else can do this but God. You start to appreciate how big God is, how powerful He is, and when He says He's going to do it, when He does it, you see that without God, this is impossible. The more you start to pause and you start to deliberate and meditate, and you start to say to yourself, but they told me this could never happen to somebody like me, but He did it anyways. Then you go 2-3 weeks and then, but they told me this can never happen, but He did. One, you start to see that one, you are different. You start to see that the things that happen to ordinary people, like in the confession, is happening to you, but it's like water on the back of a duck. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't affect you in any way. But you have to pause. You're going to have to be still. Because that guy had no business showing himself to the priest because he was a leper. But there he is going and everything is changing and he's starting to say, wait a second. Hold on a minute here. What's going on? If you do that every day, you're going to start to behave different. There's a confidence that comes into your walk that people will just be wondering, what's wrong with her? She's black, she's short, and she has an accent. She doesn't belong here. But hello, I'm sitting right here. I'm still here. I'm not only still here, now you are reporting to me.
Hallelujah.
But the truth is, she doesn't deserve it. She's black. She has a heavy accent. What you don't know is that I pause every morning to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who directs every single thing. Nothing happens without His approval. Especially when I have a conversation with Him. Pause. Pause and go back and say, I do this all the time. I go into God's presence. I say, Kabisi. That is Your Majesty. He's Your Majesty, but He's also my Father. El Shaddai, El Elyon means the Almighty, the Mighty Almighty. That's El Shaddai, the Mighty Almighty. You can't go beyond God.
No,
So you contemplate and you find yourself just sitting there. I don't rush. I go in there. So we start to talk. All the complaints, of course, we put at the door. When my soul, you know, you're a spirit, you have a soul, you live in this body. And my soul is full of grumbling and you see, you have to understand, not all those grumbles mean you're a bad person. It's just the way humans are wired. Yes. So all my soul is grumbling. I say, excuse me, shh. We're going into the Father's presence. Follow my spirit now. Come, let's go. Shh. Follow me. We're going into the Father's presence. When my soul follows my spirit, the Bible says, all that is within me, bless his holy name. So when this one is saying, but he said he would do, he didn't do. Follow me now. We're going into the Father's presence. Then we'll go. I said, oh, yeah, bow down. Kabisi. Once we say, your majesty, my soul settles down. Yes. So that's what you ought to be doing. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Then I get in there and say, Father, you know you're God all by yourself. You are the mighty God. You are the El Shaddai. You are the one who rules the universe. You own all things. No man can touch me because I belong to you. I am the apple of your eye. And I'm seeing it every day, the way you are telling everybody to shut up when I'm speaking. Thank you, Father. I'm pausing. Because I'm seeing what he's doing. And I got to come give him feedback. I just say, Father, you are walking, you are doing really good. You are very good. As though God didn't know. But I need to tell him that I know. You think Jesus didn't know he healed those 10 lepers? When the other one came and fell before him, that's an acknowledgement that I know that you did it. And I know that the one coming tomorrow, you've already handled it. But I just want to come bask in your presence. I just want some sweetness from you to rub on me. I just want that power, that glory to fall on me. I'm pausing. You pause. Selah. It's called Selah. It's a Hebrew word. It means to pause. It says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Be still. Pause. That pausing every day, you don't know what it does for you. Other than giving him praise, which he more than deserves, it changes your whole outlook on life. It completely changes who you know you are and how you relate with other people. You know you are a light to the world. You know you are the salt. You know things should not be going haywire when you are there. So you are pausing in God's presence, first to thank him, and then to get a little bit of oil and anointing to go and do damage to the devil out there. It's good to pause. But in this case, we are pausing to remember. Psalm 105 verse 5. Psalm 105 verse 5 says, remember his marvelous works that he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember means to recall to mind. So when you come into his presence, this is where you engage your soul. You know when your soul was making noise, this one didn't happen. Wow, I don't even know when God is going to do that. I don't know what God is waiting for. God can do all things. Why does he have to take so long? When you've told it to, shh, and you're going in there, now you engage it and say, start to recall. Recall that yesterday, you didn't know that you would have food on you, but guess what? You ate 3 times. Yes. Recall, bring it to mind. That you've been in the United States for the last 10 years and look at what the Lord has done with your life. When you got in the plane, we are coming, you had no clue what was going to happen to you. But look at what God, you are recalling. told you you would never be able to have a child. Now you have five. Recall. Remember. That word in the Hebrew means to mention, to record. You journal. You know when you're pausing? Journal. I know some people don't have the habit. Journal. Because apart from the fact that your mind is not like the mind of God, that you remember every single thing, it's good for you. Sometimes I have my journals, they're on Google Docs, so it's very easy to search through. I'm looking for a word or something, I just put it in the search engine and it pulls that scripture or that study I've done or that thing I put down. It's very easy. That's why I use Google Docs. So you may see me on the bed in the morning and I'm playing with my phone. I'm not doing games. What I'm doing is I'm going through my eSort on my phone and I'm pasting it in my Google Docs. I'm doing a full study. I've done 1 hour almost every day. 1 hour of study. You can imagine that when I go out there, I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go. Amen. Amen. He says, remember, record. So I'm writing that I have, in that same journal, I have prayer points. And sometimes I go back and I look, there was one in particular I was looking at yesterday. I put all my faith capital on that thing. Lord, do this. Lord, do this. Lord, do this. I wrote it out, and sometimes I like to write out the prayer so that I can go back. He didn't do it at all. In fact, it was canceled. Big X like this, you know. And I'm thinking, Lord. But do you know what he did? Times four. Amen. Elsewhere, but times four. Hallelujah. That one, I put all my faith. Yeah. I put all my faith, our Lord. Hebrews 11, 1. I put all scripture. I put it. I put the name of the thing. I did everything. Like this. And when I said, yeah, I cried small. I cried. And then I quickly wiped the tears. Amen. But it's like, God, you have to know this thing pained me. So just see the two tears. Only two tears is going to come out, but you have to see these two tears. So you can know how this thing pained me. So don't worry, I got you. It's like, okay, you better show up quick. When he showed up, though, he blew my mind. In fact, he blew my mind. I'm still reeling from him. Yes. So journaling is good. When it says remember, that Hebrew word, zakah, means to mention, to record, to remember, to recall to mind. Journal, because it will shock you how much God has done. You start to look at all your prayer points. Sometimes you don't even need to write the thing fully. Just write a few. Something that would juggle your mind. And then when you go back, like we're saying now, end of year, strategic pause, strategic seller. And you start to look and you go through January all the way. Some people like notebooks, like Pastor really likes to write. I like my electronics because it's just easier for me. But you can still flip through your pages and you are looking. Now, if you're going to use paper, I'm telling you practical things now because you're very serious about this. This part of your life, you should be really serious about it. So if you're going to journal with paper, maybe then you use the strips that you can put tabs in the pages. Maybe green is always for prayer points, something like that. So that when you're flipping back, you know, okay, this is prayer point on page 2, 3, prayer point. And look and see how many of them the Lord answered. And the ones he didn't answer the way you thought he would, look at how he came out from another angle. This is what it means to pause, remember. You see, the way I'm going into 2025 now, because Pastor told us finish well, recalling is a big part of my end in 2024. Because what it has done is put in a spring in my steps. It's telling me if the Lord could do this, I can imagine 10 times more, and he will do much more. And he always beats. Yes. He always goes beyond what you ask. So that's why it's good to journal and pause and recall. He says, remember his marvelous works. His marvelous works. That word marvelous It really, really touched me. It means something. It's a word called pala, P-A-L-A. It means something that is very difficult to do. Something that is beyond one's power. Remember what God did that was beyond. You knew that if it were just you, it's not possible. That is, he did way beyond what a human could do. Remember that interview you had and they told you the likes of you could never be there. Or just business issues or different things or family issues or healing. There are few things that in the natural are impossible. You know it. It's not just you. Experts have told you. You've gone to the doctor. They've told you, the people who have this, this is what happens to them. And yet he did it, and you're normal today. Mm-hmm. That's extraordinary. Yes. It's not supposed to have happened, but it did. Mm-hmm. Bible says, remember. Yeah. He's marvelous. Yes. The word pala means things that are difficult, hard thing, difficult thing that he did for you. Mm-hmm. Remember his marvelous works and his wonders. Wonders mean a display of God's power that is without supernatural intervention. And it's not just supernatural, like, you know, something that is not natural is also supernatural, like a demon. You know, people like us who come from Africa or we come from the Latin America, we know how, even Americans know, but let's just say those who come from that part, we know a lot about juju. What do they call it here? Voodoo. These things are real. These are not play, just camera tricks that people do when they're doing movies. No, these are real. So we know they're supernatural things. But then there's a power that passes power.
Yes.
That he says, remember these things that without the extraordinary hand of God, it is absolutely impossible. It's like Joseph, who is in the prison. One minute he's in the prison, the next minute he's second in command to the whole, to the king of Egypt, to the Pharaoh of Egypt, and almost the whole world. Everybody is bowing down to him. Everybody in the world is coming. To somebody who yesterday was in the prison. It's not possible. That takes an extraordinary display. An explosion of power. It overwhelms even the plans of the devil. It overwhelms every strategy the enemy can bring. God just overwhelms. Have you ever had God just overwhelm things and then there you are? And you are just there. And everybody's looking at you and saying, like, how did that happen? I don't know. It's God. Anything you can say like that, I don't know, is God. That's extraordinary. That's the supernatural power of God. He says, remember. Bring it to mind. The marvelous works he has done. His wonders. That is things that only him as God of the universe can do. Only God. Even angels can try. But only God can do. He says, remember. And he's telling you to remember because he has done it in your life. That's what happened to that leper. He's going and he's looking. He's like, what's going on? It's not that they didn't believe Jesus could do it. That's why they came. But the reality of it is like, wait a second. I should be dead, but I'm still here. There's a 20-car pileup, an accident. Almost everybody is dead. You are the only one walking out. There's something odd about that. There's something miraculous about that. The wonderful works of God. He says, recall, bring it to mind. You see, and then you will go back the following morning and pause and write it down just in case your mind forgets. Because what the devil does is that he keeps bringing before you all these prayer points. that you feel you keep having and God has not answered, just open your journal. See extraordinary, supernatural, extraordinary, supernatural, extra. Are you the only one in the world? Yes, it's me and my father. If you need an experience, you to go and pause and have your own conversation. As for me and God, this is why Jesus came. The Bible says, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and wonders. People should look at your life and say, wow. What's going on? Both believers and non-believers should hear your story and their ears should tingle. You get more and more of that kind of experience almost on a daily basis when you learn to pause. Because now you are deliberately engaging the power of God. You are deliberately going. Do you know what it means to enter into God's presence? It is a presence that is full of power. The Bible says in his real presence, if you read it in Revelation, the Bible says there's this throne room. There are voices coming out of a throne. Fire, lightning, thunder. It is unimaginable power. Your human mind cannot actually contain it. That's why it has to be spirit to spirit. You would die if you were to ever come with your natural mind. There is so much power in God. Yes. And when you allow him, he disburses it on your behalf. Amen. He changes stuff that should never be changed. He does it.
Yes.
It comes a point in time that you walk with him so closely, you have a relationship, it becomes normal. And then people are looking at you like you are somebody, another, like an alien. Mm-hmm. Because when they hear your story, and it's one after the other, and he's telling you, recall, amen, remember, amen, pause, hold on, wonderful works of God. That's why that guy was screaming with a loud voice. There was a reason he was doing that. He just could not contain it. His life had just been changed completely. There's a word I found out in the Greek that really, if you read this scripture, let's read it. This may be one of the last ones we read. I have a lot, but we might stop here. Go to Acts chapter 2 from verse 5. We'll read it in the King James. This is shortly after the Holy Spirit was poured out. The 120 disciples were in the upper room and they were praying. And then suddenly there was this mighty rushing wind. It comes in. It fills them. They're like tongues of fire sitting on their head, and they're there speaking in tongues. And about 120 people just blasting in tongues, speaking in tongues. And then there were people around who were, that was the time, it was near Passover, and a lot of people had come into Jerusalem. A lot of people from outside of Jerusalem, non-Jews, had come. And there in verse 5, it says, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noise about that, this is speaking in tongues, all these people came together, in verse 6, and they were confounded because that every man heard this 120 people speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these people speaking Galileans? And how hear we, every man in our own tongue, the tongue in which we were born? The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, you know, just all these people, some from Egypt, Libya, Rome, people just heard their language. But look at what they were saying in verse 11. This Arabs, Cretes, all these people, we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. This is what, you know, when the Holy Spirit came and he was poured out, And all these people, there were 120 of them in a room. They were praying, and then the Holy Spirit came, and there's this mighty rushing wind, and the tongues of fire, cloves of fire sat on their head, and then they started to speak in languages they did not learn. That's speaking in tongues. That's supernatural. And the people who were around from different nations started to hear them. They were not speaking a language that could not be understood. Now, I may not understand it if that person was speaking like an Egyptian language, and maybe I'm from another Arab country or something. But different people could hear different languages, and it was quite clear. And they were saying, what does this mean? How come these people, these folks, aren't they all from Galilee? How come they can all speak these different languages? And then what they were saying, they were speaking about the wonderful works of God. I don't know if you've ever noticed a trend with God. God doesn't need much. But he needs praise and thanks. Amen. That one, he will not do without. Yes. If you will not praise him, the rocks will become live and start to praise him. Yes. The nations, the seas, the mountains, the rocks, everything is created. They are mandated to give him praise. Yes. That's how God operates. Yes. That's how God operates. God needs to hear, I am the great and mighty God. This is how God operates. Who knows which other planets there may be, living beings we don't know, if there are aliens out there. Whoever, they are mandated to give him praise. It's a demand. It's not whether you feel like it or not. This is why you were created, to give him praise. So the Holy Spirit comes, is poured out, and what are they talking about? They're talking about the wonderful works of God. You see that word called wonderful works is the Greek word megalios, you know, megalios. That's when I started shouting yesterday when I saw that one. I started shouting because it's like, okay, now, Lord. Okay, God, you always pull these things. Megalios. I said, megalios. I sat down, I sailed that one, I soaked in it for a minute. It's like megalios. It means magnificent, splendid. His works. God is doing mega things in your life. Mega. Mega. He's doing around the world, and he wants to do it in your life. But you have to be like this with him. You have to be in cahoot with him. You know, it's not like this one, once in a while, you say high five to God. When it's Easter, you come back, say another high five. You will never experience him. You will experience the normal things, like he's already vowed that he will feed you, he will clothe you. There are a few things that are almost to God. It's almost like a no-brainer. Just make sure he eats, make sure there's a roof over his head, make sure. But there's some mega things. Not everybody experiences it. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. Mega. The blind man begging and heard Jesus was going back, and they say, shush, he cried loud. What happened? Mega. The woman whose son, only son, died, and they were going to bury him. And Jesus touches the pallet on which he was, and he comes back to life. Mega. There's some mega things God does all by himself. So I think sometimes God just wants to prove a point, that kind of show off and show out. Don't you want him to do that on your behalf? There are many things, you know, every time we come, we thank you, God, for food on my table. Thank you for clothes on my back. Thank you for a roof over my head. Those are basic. They're still thanks worthy because God does them. Because when you don't have them, you will know. You will know. Okay. But then there's another level of mega. That's what he says. These people were just everybody, and they're hearing them. They're hearing them talk about the wonderful, the megalios of God. That's what God is in the business of. God can't even help himself. God can't cut his coat according to his size because he's just big. When God comes into your life and does stuff, he just does it big. Everybody say, "Ah, Lord, if you just give me small, $5 is enough." And God says, "I don't know how to give that to." The way I do stuff is mega. That's why he does exceeding, abundant, above. Because by himself is just mega. That's who God is. He says, settle down, pause, sailor, and remember the megalios of God. The wonderful works of God. The last word that blew my mind, I want to share with you, and then we're going to pray, is this word. It really threw me off. Because I can't imagine, I may have seen it because I like doing Hebrew-Greek studies. I may have seen it sometime, but I have to say this one, I can't remember it. But hey, who knows? Maybe I've delved into it. This word, if you go to Luke 5, 26. See, there was a time Jesus was teaching, and we're almost done. So stay with me for a few more minutes. Jesus was teaching. The Bible says the power of God was there to heal. And he was teaching, and the doctors of the law, these big people who knew the law, they were sitting down there, and they were looking at him, trying to catch him to say something wrong so that they can accuse him. And then these four men came with their friend. Co, 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 co. The roof is just removed. What's going on? What's going on? They said, we have a friend that is paralyzed. We tried to go through the door. The door was locked. We can't get in. So there they are, just breaking down the roof. And then they dropped their friend. And Jesus is like, you know, we have something we used to say when I was living in the northern part of Nigeria. It's tulas, that is by force. This man is not living here until he's healed. We try to come through the door. No way through the door. We broke the whole house down. He has to be healed. That's it. So they broke it down. They dropped their friend right there in the midst. Say, Jesus, heal him. We are here. The Bible says Jesus looked at their faith. Even if Jesus had no business healing that day, he had to. It's just like the woman with the issue of blood. That woman, if you look at that woman with the issue of blood, if you read it, In the Old Testament, she had no business even walking through people. She was supposed to be shut off, completely shut off. But she said, I don't care. I'm getting my healing. They said, this man, if you touch his garment, you'll be, I will touch. She didn't ask Jesus' permission. Jesus said, who touched me? And his disciples, you know, those people, they were not very sharp people. Who touched me? They say, everybody is rushing and crowding you. You are saying, who touched? He said, no. This one touched me different. Amen. I feel power, the megalios of God. I see power being drawn out of me. Then the woman comes and says, it's me, Lord. That's how those four men came. They dropped their friends there and said, do it, Lord. We are not leaving. You must heal him today. The Bible says Jesus saw them and he saw their faith. And it's like, wow. Told the man, pick up your bed, walk. Yeah. He picks up his bed. He's healed. He walks. That's the megalios, by the way. Yes. And picks up that bed, walks. And this is what they said. This is the one that kind of, came to me, and I'm thinking, Lord, you got to do more of this in my life. In Luke 5, 26, in the King James, it says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. That word, that term, strange things, is called paradoxos. Paradox. Something that is incredible, unexpected, contrary to expectation. I said, Lord, just do it. Do it in my life. Every day. Paradoxos. Lord, I give you permission. Just be doing paradoxos. Anyway, just do. They said, these are people. They said, we have seen strange things today. Settle down, recall. You will see that you can count strange things. You will see that he has done many things in your life that are unexpected, beyond expectation. Just a paradox, cannot be explained. That's God. That's the God that you do not only serve, he is your father. Like, real father. He counts you as his child. Anyone that tries to harm you, he's very upset by it. Anyone that tries to do you wrong, he's not happy with it. Anyone that curses you is already cursed. It's just already written into law that if you curse her, you're cursed. Anyone who blesses you is already blessed. That's your father. He says, settle down, pause, Selah, recall, bring to mind the different things he's done. So I want you to think about it. As we wrap up this year, you're going to just, if we can remember it today, we're going to thank him for it. All these mega things he's done. All these paradoxes he's done. But if you can't, you have two more days. That's your assignment. I want you to go home and settle down. Thank him for the food on the table. Thank him for the things that you've come to expect that is almost to you routine. I don't want you to forget that. But I also want you to settle down and think about some things that should not have happened, but happened anyway. And write it down so that when you come on the 31st, you are thanking him with understanding. You are thanking him deliberately, intentionally. You are not just doing it because, well, they told us to write. No, no. Because if you can remember what it's going to do, it's going to open you up in 2025 for more. And there are things that are happening in your life, like that woman with the issue of blood. It took her completely out of circulation. She became bankrupt. She spent all she had. She couldn't join other people. Her life was being kind of taken away from her. She was still breathing, but she was almost dead. Like those lepers, they were there, but they were really gone. They couldn't live. They were alive. Your breathing every day is not only life. You have to have quality of life. Something has to be good. There are a few things for some people. It's immigration. There are a few things that cut you off. It's a valve. The thing is like squeezing your neck. It's not allowing you to fulfill all that God has for you. I want you to bring those things on the 31st. That thing that you need the extraordinary display of the power of God in 2025, where you need a complete breakthrough and a turnaround, take it upon yourself like the 10 lepers took it upon themselves, like the beggar man took it upon himself, and they told him to shut up, and he cried out louder. I want you to write those things down. Those will be game changers. You have to be strategic. There are just a few things that you know that if God does this, then 10 things are already done. Now, there are things that are regular, but there are a few things that if he can remove that valve, that's just bust into life. So last scripture. I called upon the Lord in my distress, and he pulled me into a large room. That thing that holds you down. That thing, that's what. So you have two things, lists you are coming with on the 31st. One of the paradoxes, the magalios, all the things that the Lord has done. And the other list is the one that God has to do to get you to your next wealthy place or your next healthy place or whatever that next. He just needs to do it. And you want to come in faith like those four men with their friends. And it's like, it's got to be done, Lord. And I'm not leaving till it's done. And that scripture that I was saying I wanted us to read in Psalm 118 verse 5. That will be the basis. Psalm 118 verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. That word distress means a valve, something, that one thing, that thing that is tight, that will not let you go to your next place. I want you to write, it may be one, it may be two, it may be five. You may have a long list, but I want you to include in that list this one thing. So that when the Lord comes with his power and he does it, there will be no question. It's like he did it. Come on the 31st. He will take you from that constriction, that straight place, and he will put you into a place of health or wealth or whatever it is you are believing God for. Amen. Now, let's stand to our feet today. Let's just start that exercise today when we start to recall, bring to mind. Children, you can do this. Youth, you can do this. What has the Lord done that you feel that if someone had told you at the beginning of 2024, you'd have thought, I'm not sure that can be done, but God can do all things. But now he's done it. I want you to, in your own words to your Father, say thank you. I just want to start off the process so that when you go home, you will pause and recall and write down. You got to record it, people. You got to write it down. Father, we thank you. We are so grateful. We're so thankful. All these good things you've done. Things that are making our ears tingle. Some of them we cannot even share because they're so private. But you did them. And they were not supposed to be doable. They were not supposed to be possible. But here you are in your awesome power. You did them anyways. We come with gratitude, telling of your goodness, telling of your greatness, telling of your might. You did it, not us. You did it. And we return unto you today, glory and honor and praise. We worship your majesty, O King of all kings and Lord of all lords. The one who rules the universe with a rod of iron. The one who loves his children more than life itself. So much so that you gave your only begotten son. You did it. You did it. We didn't. It wasn't our smartness. It wasn't what we were able to accomplish. It was you. This one was a paradox. This one was a megalios. This one was different. This one was you. This one was you, oh God. And we bow before you today. We say, receive glory. It's you. It's you. It's your power. You did it. You did it. It's not who we knew. It wasn't networking. Not friends, not uncles, not parents. You did it. Healed us when we should not have been healed. Able to be healed. Answered prayers that people told us could never, ever be done. You did the impossible. You did it. And we as a congregation come today. We start recounting now. We're pausing and we're starting to recall and bring into our minds that which you have done. Wow, Lord, you've done it. You are so good. You are so mighty and you are so powerful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This year of God class exploits, we saw your hand. We saw your hand. The jobs we were not supposed to be able to get, you gave us anyways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The businesses we were not supposed to prosper in, you prospered us anyhow. Only you, talking to people in the middle of the night, telling them, give that to my child, give that to my daughter, sending angels on assignment to and fro on our behalf, speaking to judges, to magistrates on our behalf, speaking to them when we were not there, telling them, do him right, do her right. Things you did, you did it. You did it. And we give you praise. You deserve glory and honor and praise. Yeah, Lord, we're not just rushing past it. We are very grateful. Thank you. Now, Lord, we just want to put you on notice that we will be coming here on the 31st. We're going to be coming with a list of things, the places of distress that we've been, that we need you to pull us into a large room. Because the Bible says you're the one who drags the poor from the dunghill, causes them to sit with princes. You're the one who causes the barren to sing with child. You're the one who causes the blind. You're the one who opens their eyes. You're the one who healed the lepers. You're the one who healed the woman with the issue of blood. You're the one who brought the dead to life. You're the God who does the mega. We want to put you on notice, Lord, that on the 31st we will be here, we, your children, with our list of the impossible, knowing that there is absolutely nothing you cannot do. We will be here, Lord. We're coming with faith. We're not coming with unbelief. We will be coming with our hearts full of praise, but we will also be coming with our hearts full of faith. And we're going to be expecting stuff in 2025. Thank you for keeping us alive. We will be alive. We will not die. We will declare the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. People will see us and say, oh, see what God has done for them. That's our whole plan, Lord. Even if we didn't say you knew it, but we just wanted to articulate it before you, that this is our plan. We're coming to thank you. We're coming to give you praise, but we're also coming with a few requests. We are planning to meet with you, oh God. We are coming on the mountain. We're going to cross over. You're going to keep us alive so we can dialogue as a congregation with you on the 31st. We are excited. We are ready. All the things you want to do, do, Lord. Show up, show out, show off on our behalf. King of all kings and Lord of all lords, God all by yourself, we honor and we worship you, your majesty. We give you praise. We give you glory. It's from our hearts to yours, oh God. We, the children of God, we, the people, the called, the anointed, the God family. We are excited. We're glad that we're called by your name. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Where would we be without you, O God? The devil would have beaten us black and blue. He would have killed us. But you said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. They are mine. They are mine, you said. That's why we're still here December 29th. And we'll be here December 31st because of your word and your command. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, oh God. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.